In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat, the podcast so nice they recorded it twice. May I just say, goddamn motherfucker, son of a bitch, right off the bat.
Welcome to episode 12, the cursed episode.
Yes, I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And for those of you who have not clued in yet, we recorded 56 minutes, and then Audacity crashed. And because we know you, the viewer, listener, whatever, demand your Thursday night fix, we're starting over. And I haven't had fucking dinner yet, so I'm going to be surlier than usual. And what we're going to do is go through the same questions we already have. But I'm not going to do my riboflavin joke again. And you'll never figure out what Azure Guido or Azure Guido Zord is, which was going to be the title of the episode. But now, fuck it. It is lost to the ages.
It was a pretty good one, I think.
It was.
And now
one of our best. We talked about what the hat looks like.
Wow.
We talked about a bunch of stuff.
It was a show of legend, and that's what it will remain, because only we know.
I talked about how wrong Blood Sparrow was. This is good though. This reminds me to do something. Which I totally did in the earlier episodes, so don't think I didn't do it. Yeah, totally. I would like to give a shout out to Beth, friend of the show Beth, because despite the fact that all of her questions are anonymous, I got chided last week for not giving her credit for anything or ever mentioning her on the show. And she's had several questions, and she had several of my honorable mentioned highlights of the shitty movie game, which, by the way, has not died. The Facebook thing is still going with it. It's kind of crazy. So, hi, Beth. You make my life possible or something. And I totally did that last time we recorded this, so shut up.
Thanks for listening, Beth.
Thank you. I hope she listens still. She's not working with me now, so she may not listen because she's not forced to. But don't look at those questions yet. We killed like 20 minutes before that, and we probably won't kill as much time on the questions, so we got a lot of time to kill. How was your week, William? Tell us about the Ruff Ruff Draft.
No, a Ruff Ruff Draft is not the puff of air caused by dogs running past you while you're sitting in the grass. It is...
Wait, what? That took me a second.
It's a rough draft that is rougher than a normal rough draft. And that's what I completed after my month of focused and crazy writing. A draft where it's not quite ready to send to editors, but all the chapters are there, all the characters are there, the plot's all plotted, and everything's... I mean, it's readable, but before I send it to editors, I want to make sure that I fix everything that I will notice to fix, because I don't want the editors to send back something that is full of stuff that I should have caught myself. Otherwise, that would be a waste of their time and a waste of my time.
You're stealing my joy.
What do you want me to say? This is what I said before.
No, I'm saying that I take tremendous pleasure out of saying, William, you didn't catch this, and you should have. You dolt.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're going to say that anyway.
Yeah, but it's better when you agree.
But that was the big part of my week. And how was your week?
I don't remember. How was it?
You said it was, what did you call it?
I had my awesome unemployment
joke.
I'm not going to repeat it now. It's too late. It was too late, though.
Oh, man, you guys are missing all the best jokes.
I am. Wait.
No, they are. You're not. You caught them all the first time.
I need food.
And maybe you're missing them this time.
I'm weak. As of Friday was my last day of work for now, and I spent the 3-day weekend with my in-laws, which, shut up, because I actually really like my in-laws.
Wait, where's that again? So,
Chillicothe, Illinois, just outside Peoria. And it's cool. I get to sleep as much as I want. There's no particular responsibilities. I eat a lot of good home cooking. It's nice.
Yep.
Hung out with family there. That was fun. Celebrated my wife's birthday because her birthday was on Tuesday. But so we celebrated it some there, and then we celebrated it, her and I, on Tuesday. And then probably tomorrow night we're going to go out and party with some friends and drink a keg of margaritas. You didn't know they could do that, did you?
Nope.
They're not really doing it either. La Cava has it. It's like a margarita keg. But it's not like pressurized or anything. It's just like this barrel, like pony keg shaped thing that's full of margaritas.
I see.
So, and Kirk's going to drive because Kirk supposedly never drinks so much that he can't drive. So I'm like, okay then. I'm all over that. Not that like he has a really high tolerance. He just doesn't drink very much. So, then
well,
I can.
Well, good. Because I wouldn't want you guys to be unsafe.
You should go there. It's tasty.
What's tasty?
La Cava.
Oh. Yeah, I should go there.
It's nice. And it's near you guys. Anyway.
What else did we talk about? You talked about all kinds of stuff. I talked about
listener
Wonder
stuff.
Pets and...
Kia pointed out that if I was a true... I don't know.
Parent.
That I would be looking for Wonder Pets on the Nickelodeon site and not on Netflix. So, you know, I'm still saying all this as though they heard the other episode. It's all very weird. Yeah, so somebody pointed that out. Somebody else, Blood Sparrow, said that there was a good D&D movie already, and it was called The 13th Warrior, and I said that wasn't even close to a D&D movie, and it also wasn't even close to good. And William appeared to agree with me on the first part out of sheer ignorance, and remained fairly noncommittal on the quality of said film.
Well, I can't remember. I saw it. I don't remember if I liked it or not.
He did a lot of LSD in the 90s, so...
If LSD is a kind of candy... Then that's probably true.
That was weak.
But if it's a drug, no, I didn't do that.
You don't know. They just fed it to you in the cages. Also, to the Quad Cities boys, I'll let you know for real, but you'll probably catch this first. We're not coming this weekend or this week or whatever. We're going to have to do some weird recording of interstitial episodes. So all you listeners will still get your hour a week fix, but we'll probably record them different times because I will probably be doing some house sitting, so I will be away and can't record with William, and that would be sad.
We would be very sad about that.
And well, no one's ever going to know, so we can just throw into the... We developed the grand unified theory...
Yeah.
fix global warming.
But as far as the Grand Unified Theory goes, it was really on the fly. I mean, we were just right off the top of our heads. I really doubt we could come up with that again. That's too bad.
This is not the Grand Unified Theory.
No.
This is just a tribute.
And cold fusion. That kind of happened in the middle. And we thought we'd get back to it. But then when the program crashed, we sort of spaced it. Now I don't think we'll ever get it back.
Me and William, we looked at each other, and we each said, okay. That's what this is. This is not episode 12. This is just a tribute
to the episode that was epic. To
the greatest episode in the world
that no one will ever hear.
Oh my God, that's what this is going to be. This is going to be the episode 12 tribute.
Do you remember episode 12?
It was awesome.
When we answered that one question. What was the question again? Oh yeah.
The funny thing is, this episode doesn't sound anything like that episode.
No, not close.
Once every 100,000 years or so, when the sun doth shine and the moon doth glow and the grass doth grow. I shouldn't sing anymore. We have to pay for it.
I blame the hat.
Whoa!
I don't know what the hat's problem was with that epic podcast, but it decided that it gave us all these things to talk about, and then it erased it.
Look who grew some testicles.
I'm just saying.
Suddenly blaming the hat for stuff.
You know.
Wow.
Well,
getting kind of badass.
Who else could have caused it? I mean, just random chance? I don't think so. Wait, is random chance redundant? Maybe not. Anyway. So
I had a line in there, but
have we eaten up 20 minutes yet?
Not even close. Let's do some of these. We got like what, 5 questions or something?
Six.
William, you have been granted a tremendous responsibility here. You get to pick what order we address these in.
Well, I think I have them in the order of the original legendary episode 12.
How boring and like you.
Yep. So here in episode 12 and a half,
the episode 12 tribute,
we will go over them all again. And as with the legendary episode 12, the questions were kicked off by our old friend Azure Talon.
Oh God, we got to fill in some space here because I bitched about this a lot.
Yeah, he did, as you can probably guess. And Azure Talon tells the hat to tell us that we need to talk about nerd board games. And if I recall, we weren't quite sure what made a board game be labeled nerd.
Yeah, see, I kind of faded out in that conversation, so what did you say? Do it again. Do it.
I don't remember.
Take the sock puppets. One will be me, one will be you. Recreate it.
Well, I don't remember anything. Because I don't even know. I never did figure out exactly what a nerd board game was. So
that was his big thing. He couldn't figure it out. And he went to Risk. He went to Monopoly. I punched him when he went to Monopoly.
And I also suggested that Trivial Pursuit, which started as a party game, has evolved into a nerd board game.
You got into Trivial Pursuit kind of heavy. I feel like there's some personal issues there. I did get something. Well, and I talked about Board Game Geek, which is a great site for all this kind of stuff about the games. But I mentioned something in the actual episode 12, greatest episode in the world,
ever,
that my wife overheard and in between recording sessions brought me more specific information. So this is awesome. We play a lot of games that Trish often gets because she looks at this once a year game guide around Christmas time on this blog, and he recommends games, and some of the deciding factors involve, besides being an awesome game, is a game that takes 60 minutes or less to play. 60 minutes is 1 hour or less to play on average, and a game that you reasonably could teach an adult to play basically in 10 minutes or less. And she sent me the information, so I will put it up on the episode 12 tribute show notes. But I will just say now, the blog in question is defectiveyeti.com. Yeti as in abominable snowman. So defectiveyeti.com. And what you're looking for is Matthew Baldwin's Good Gift Games Guide. He's got some in the past, so you could check those out, and he comes up with new ones each year, so that is awesome. So you can check that out for all your awesome gaming needs.
Maybe Azure Talon knows some good nerd board games that we could talk about.
Okay, Azure Talon, tell us.
I guess he doesn't.
Guess not.
Okay, well, I don't know. How long did we talk about that one before? What are we going to do?
We talked about that one longer than we've talked about anything this time.
Do you want to read the next one, or should I just read them all, too, as we go along?
You do it.
To the hat.
At the end, I'm going to talk about communism.
Okay. To the hat. Is it wrong for an almost 30-year-old male to buy tons of Lego, Transformer, and other types of toys, it looks like here? I don't know what that is.
Yes, this one was digested a bit because the hat, I was led to believe it was too fucking long.
Okay.
So, there we go. And that one's anonymous, and I reminded people that if you don't want your questions to be anonymous, you should sign them.
Right, because the hat just shows us what was in the body of the email, not anything else.
Not the address or anything so like you, that. Yeah, and that would be inappropriate. So you should sign them or tell them who it's from or what you want to be listed as, or they'll be anonymous, which is also fine.
Yes.
And I believe, I mean, essentially we went around in circles, but it was basically, no, that's fine as long as you never want to get laid.
Well, you had some very good criteria, things to ask, questions to ask a person.
And you had a joyous story about your brother. Tell that story again. I love that story.
Don't make fun.
I'm not. It's a good story, and it gives me a chance to relax.
Okay, my brother.
Well, make it longer this time.
My brother.
Longer and slower are not the same thing.
Okay. Well, I believe I started the story by pointing out that when we were young, we didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot of toys when we were growing up, and my brother was a huge Star Wars fan, and he wanted Star Wars action figures when he was a kid. That's what he always asked for his birthday, for Christmas and everything, but we didn't often get those things because, you know, we'd get socks and clothes and things for Christmas. So when he was older, he decided he wanted to collect Star Wars action figures. So he would go to the different stores, Target, Toys R Us, Walmart. Every once in a while, he'd go to the toy aisle and see if there were any new Star Wars action figures to buy. And one day, and he was in his 30s when this happened. Maybe he was 30. I don't know. But he goes to the toy aisle of one of these stores, and he's looking at the Star Wars action figures. And there's a kid there, probably 10 years old, also looking at the action figures. And they both stand there alone in the aisle, looking at the toys together. And then the little boy looks up at my brother and says, does your son like Star Wars too? And it kind of broke my brother's heart because he, up till then, was not married, never married, didn't have kids, wanted to be married and have kids. And so he would have loved to say to that 10-year-old boy, why, yes, my son does love Star Wars. But alas, he was there for himself collecting Star Wars toys.
And so he kicked that kid in the face.
No.
That was what you said the first time.
No, I didn't. It was just it's just a great little story. But you had your criteria, which I thought were very good, that the person should ask themselves several questions. Like, I think the first one was, are you employed?
No.
That wasn't the first one?
No, much more important than that.
Than being employed?
Yes. Are you living
with your parents? Yes.
If you are, stop buying the damn toys and get out.
Yeah. And then the other one was, the next one was,
do you pay your bills?
Are your bills getting paid? Yes.
Do you function in society?
Yeah.
If those are cool, then that's fine. Do you have a significant other? If you do, does said significant other, are they cool with this?
Yeah.
Or even into it themselves and cool with the amount of money you spend on this?
Yeah.
If you do not have a significant other, do you ever want one? If no, keep on trucking. If yes, look at things, look at your collection, look at the money you have spent, and think about this seriously. Maybe you find somebody else who's into it too, and then you're good. But maybe not. Maybe you're just you and your Bakugan alone in a basement apartment for the rest of your life. I think the first time I blamed this questioner for the downfall of civilization.
Yes, you did. Or that they would be blamed.
I missed that.
When that happens, yeah. One day they will be blamed.
Yes.
But I also felt I needed to point out that as my brother was collecting these things, he was not living at home. He was paying his bills. He did have... he was dating women at the time. And I think at one time he was even dating a woman who liked his collection and even helped him find the stuff that he was looking for. And often bought him things for his birthday or Christmas that were things he collected. So he was in the category that I think Tony would say is okay.
Well, I would, but he killed and ate that family of tourists.
Well, other than that.
I know. That to me is a warning. Have you killed and eaten a family of tourists? If so, stop buying Transformers.
Yeah. That's probably good advice. Although,
really?
It might be too late, really, when you think
about
it.
At that point?
Yeah. Maybe it doesn't matter after that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So that answers that question. Man. And then we were hit with an Azure Talon gem. Again.
That also William pulled out of the hat, and so I punched William in the face again.
And there was...
And theorized some sort of... thing involving William and Azure Talon seated in some sort of tree. There was some sort of activity going on that I spelled out, and then I cried a little bit.
And now you guys will never hear all that wonderful material.
This is not the greatest episode in the world. Sorry.
He asked the hat if the hat has a cousin who's a Fez.
Yeah. We did not spend a lot of time on this.
No, because we can't ask the hat that question because the hat doesn't talk.
And it's a terrible, terrible question. And I couldn't come up with a good Wilmer Valderrama joke, which was the only thing that could have saved this question.
And the hat could be a Fez for all, as you're telling
us. For all you know. Although we did get into some elaborate faces and things. We got into some detail on the hat's appearance that you just don't get to know about now. Basically, what we're saying here, or what I'm saying, is that I'm blaming you, the listener, for the crash. I don't necessarily think it's your fault, but I've decided you're going to suffer for it. So, well, taking it out on you.
I don't think we have to decide it. I think it's just going to happen because we...
Yeah, but...
here we are in this mood of, oh my gosh, what are we going to do?
I just want it on record that I'm doing this with malice aforethought.
Okay.
This is premeditated sucking for the listeners or something. I'm telling you, this is a breakthrough for William. He's gone from fear of the hat to anger at the hat, and I don't know where this is going to end up.
What? Okay, you're right. I probably should stop before I really offend it.
It sounds like something I would say, but I'm just like, this is. Do you feel a presence from the other side, like? Macho Man Randy Savage has come into your body.
Too soon. Now remember, though, see...
I was making Slim Jim jokes that very day.
I'll bet you were.
Oh!
You have to remember, I was raised by hillbillies. I keep telling you this, and yes. We have ways of warding off... things like this. I mean, yeah, it's...
Things
it's,
like hats that check their own email?
Yes, because...
Really, that came up in your little bumpkin upbringing?
Tony, do you not... Have you never known any hillbillies?
Not till you.
They've got everything covered. Trust me. I'm going to tell you this. You know, you don't go tempting fate. You don't go, you know, you don't go poking the magical talking hat with
a
stick.
You don't stomp on Superman's cape.
But, when it messes with you, well... You know, you have tools to mess back. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like you're going to use the word youngins any second now.
You know, hillbillies are you know, I use that term. Hillbilly is like, I can say that because I was raised by them. See?
Ah.
And I let you say it because you're my friend. But they're very underestimated group of people. They're very smart. And they really know about this stuff. And
email.
About magical things.
Oh, okay.
You know, this hat probably belongs to, you know, a little person or something. leprechaun or...
What the hell does that mean?
Some kind of...
Random shot at the little people all of a sudden there.
You know what I mean. Not like human little people. I mean,
Willie
like,
Wright, he don't like him.
I mean, the ones that live underneath the hills and kidnap your baby and replace it with a changeling and stuff like that. You laugh.
I think we broke him.
You laugh, but just wait. You'll be coming to me for help, and I'll go to my granny, and I'll see if she can cook us up a nice concoction to help us
out. Spit on a chicken bone, and...
We'll see who's laughing later.
Okay, you hillbilly, what's the next question?
I think it's all superstition and nonsense, but... Sir Guido! As asking the hat if it gets jealous that the sorting hat is more famous than the hat.
Yes. And the big takeaway from the early episode on this was the sorting hat is a whore.
That was the conclusion you came to, yes.
Several times. also, our hat doesn't talk.
Nope.
Different
so
hat.
We don't know if it's jealous, but I think it has a pretty healthy self-esteem, so I'm not worried about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sorting hat's kind of sad. And William went on at length about how he didn't know something. Go figure. About whether or not in the books the hat has a face.
And a mouth, like in the movie.
And then we discussed whether or not our hat had a face or faces, but we're not going to go into that.
No, it's... You just had to be there.
This is just a tribute.
But, yeah. Unless the hat was trying to answer the affirmative by crashing your program or something.
Maybe the hat likes the sorting hat, and I called it a whore too many times. Maybe it's like the hat's significant other.
See, this is what I mean about these things. You know, you keep having to guess what they're thinking, what they're doing.
So you're
going to
bring us some gree-gree?
Sometimes they just... maybe. I mean, gree-gree, you know, it's technically...
voodoo like, rather than hillbilly email magic?
Voodoo, actually, in
you
New
do.
Orleans.
You do. Do what?
But there is some crossover in some parts of the South. I don't think my granny does it, but... I think we can move on to the next Sir Guido, because Sir Guido got drawn again.
He did.
From the hat.
Twice.
And asked this question, if I have a hat that I wear that isn't magical, can I teach it to talk?
Oh, God.
To which we had to again point out that we don't know the answer to that question because...
Our hat don't talk.
Our hat doesn't talk.
It's a magical hat of talking.
But Tony pointed out something that I hadn't known previously, which is that if you have a hat that's not magical, therefore it must talk.
If magical hat doesn't talk, non-magical hat must talk.
Right.
So yes, Sir Guido, you can train your hat to talk very easily, and if you are unable to do this, the fault lies with you. Because any idiot... can teach a non-magical hat to talk. Please.
Well, I think you got a little hillbilly in you.
I did say idiot. I just said idiot.
You said idiot. Where are we at for time?
Oh, my God. We're not quite a half hour in.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, see, that's... Now we're at the very last thing. Which we did have a spirited conversation about that probably could have gone a little longer, but now that we've already had that spirited conversation, I'm not sure that...
I don't think it was so much spirited as long.
All right, well.
But you had some fascinating points. Go back to that.
I don't even...
Anyway, because art is like poetry, except when it's like a really boring film.
Or a really boring theory that I'm talking about on the podcast.
We're still not at a half hour.
Maybe if... You know, I think my talking slower idea is probably a good one. Maybe we should have just done that.
I'm going to have a nap. Do that. Anyway, question was from...
Lois.
Lois Lane.
Lois Lane, who we're excited to see again, because we've only seen question from her one time.
And because she's not a dude.
Yeah. And she asks very provocative questions. The last one also about art. And this one is about art.
Art.
Do you have a favorite artist? And we presumed she meant painter.
And William had some
very predictable answers, which I won't go into.
Oh, but they were awesome.
Why should I? You're not going into anything.
I'm hungry.
Well, I understand. You're hungry.
And tired. It's almost my bedtime. Normally. I'll be up late.
Well, our intro does say an hour or so. So if we're not quite at an hour.
Oh, I think we're going to cut it short. Don't get me wrong. But we just hit a half hour, so.
So we got to do at least 15 more minutes.
Talked about Turner, the landscape artist, is one of my favorites. I talked about my old days in love with Patrick Nagel. Because it was the 80s and I was a teenager. I didn't know any better.
And I remembered who that was after you described that.
Every once in a while I see one of his pictures now and I see like an old movie or something and it cracks me up.
I remember seeing a particular picture from him that always made me think of Duran Duran for some reason. Did Did he do a Duran Duran cover, album cover? Maybe he did.
I would be willing to bet. I mean, it very much was that style.
Yeah. Maybe he did.
I've gone blind. Do you know, I watched the Family Guy special doing the Return of the Jedi this week.
Okay.
Do you know about the Family Guy did an hour-long special for Star Wars, and then they did one for Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah, I've heard that.
I don't like Family Guy anymore, but I've actually enjoyed these, and that's why I recorded this one. And actually, it did crack me up, because the whole conceit in every one is that the family sitting around and the power goes out, and so they can't watch TV anymore. And so Peter's going to tell them a story. And he just tells them Star Wars. And so this time, they're all sitting watching TV, and the power goes out. And the kids are like, oh, crap, what happened? Oh, no, what are we going to do now? And then Stewie goes, oh, crap, we're about to do Jedi, aren't we? And Peter goes, yeah, everybody, let's just get through this. And then it says, it starts doing the intro, which is not a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It's actually a long time ago after MASH, but before after MASH. And then it starts doing the scrolling text with everything, and then it sort of breaks in with the scrolling text saying, you know what, really, we just phoned this one in. They wouldn't let us not do this episode. Like, we didn't even want to do Jedi, but the network said we had to, and so we just, it was written pretty much by assistants. The FedEx guy got a joke in it. Like, just lower your expectations at the get-go, because we really phoned it in on this one.
Wow.
Don't try it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious. But it was actually really funny. Yeah, no, they were just screwing up, but it made me laugh. They missed a couple of what I thought should have been really good jokes. In general, because, you know, Seth MacFarlane is not scared of being racist, I really thought they could have come up with something for that Nine Numb guy. In Jedi, you remember him, the co-pilot in Millennium Falcon?
Yeah.
What the hell kind of weird-ass guy is that?
Don't know.
I really thought they could have played with that, but they didn't.
It was foreboding is what it is, because, you know, then when he made the prequels, it's like, oh, I see. Now we get where Lucas is coming from.
It's weird. I see more racism in the older ones now. Oh, my God, and that was awesome, though, because they're breaking into the thing at one point, and Han Solo, like, they capture the guards, and he's like, okay, take your helmets, go outside, and start digging your own graves. And they're like, wow, you're getting kind of dark. He's like, there's been too much cheery kitty crap in this movie. I can't take that. And he goes outside. He's like, now you, kill him. Like, what? And he's like, I've had it up to here with Ewoks. Damn it, we're going to do something.
Going to do something nasty.
Yes. They didn't actually do that, though. But they made the joke, which made me feel better. Because of...
You ever see the movie Reign of Fire?
Is that the post-apocalyptic and there's dragons now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't like it, huh?
No.
Christian Bale's in it.
Yes, he is.
But in that, they have some story time with the kids, and they're doing Empire Strikes Back.
Are they? I don't think I remember that.
It's actually pretty funny.
You ever seen Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome?
A long time ago.
They do some story time there, too. It's not Star Wars, but it's pretty funny.
And, Lois, I hope that answers your question.
Art. I tend to favor the Impressionists, and William tends to favor not too realistic, but most of his favorite artists are realistic, so. And also he loves Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes, my favorite artist is so, Watterson's my favorite.
Sam Watterson, the guy who was on Law and Order?
Bill Watterson. William.
Is he like the brother?
His name's Bill, isn't it? Isn't that his name?
First I don't know. I've never met the guy.
Watterson, that's his last name anyway.
So is he related to the Law and Order guy?
I don't know. But he's an excellent artist. I mean, he's exceptional. And he's versatile.
The way he drew Calvin urinating on things.
Which he didn't, but.
Oh, God, I hate those so much.
He doesn't like them either. He's never licensed Calvin or Hobbes or anything. So, but you know, whatever. He's a brilliant man, and I think anyone who's interested in art or writing or making comics or really any creative enterprise would benefit from getting the comic compilations that have extensive commentary from him in them.
Have you ever seen Calvin and Hobbes minus Hobbes?
Is that like the Garfield?
Like Garfield minus Garfield? Yes.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it.
It's pretty cool. It exposes the torment and psychosis living in Calvin.
Yeah. I wrote a song about Calvin Hobbes. Did I ever tell you that?
No, but I just always assumed. I was like, that looks like a man who wrote a song about Calvin and Hobbes.
I wrote a song about Calvin as an adult. And he sort of...
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Oh, sorry.
No. I should send you the file or whatever so you can listen to it.
You sent me that other one. I wanted to put it on the podcast, but none of our listeners got back to us.
I know
the
they didn't help
thing.
Us out on
the... You're see, being kind of a crappy legal team, people.
But this song was...
We've
was
got you on retainer
written
for a reason.
And performed by my friend and me some time ago. Calvin is grown up, and he's relaxing at his home, and...
He's mauled by a tiger!
And Hobbes shows up in a box that has Time Machine scribbled on it.
And
he's been sent by the younger to see how his life turns out. So, and that's how the song goes.
And hijinks ensue?
No, there aren't really any hijinks. There's a little bit of a conversation, and Hobbes takes some notes. And
is it wistful and
kind of, I guess,
sad?
Well, you know, it depends on... Some people don't have heard it, and they
is
really
this like
don't
when
like it.
Jackie Paper never came back to see Puff? And then my mom starts crying.
I don't know. A few people I've sent it to listen to it didn't like it because of something in the song that I won't reveal because that would take all the fun out of it. But Mark,
wow, all sorts of possibilities there.
Listener Mark,
yes,
likes the song, or at least last time I knew he liked it.
Mark finally made his presence known on the Happy Jacks forums.
Oh, that's good.
Yep. And even gave credit to our podcast for bringing him over, so. Publicity.
So, Lois, I'm sorry you never heard the... I don't know.
It wasn't that good.
Well...
It was perhaps the one weak point in otherwise the greatest... episode
that's
we've
not
ever
true.
Done.
It wasn't earth shattering. No,
I'm
but
trying
it wasn't
to make her feel better.
I wouldn't call it a weak point. It was
I'm trying
okay.
Trying to make her feel better. I thought it was a very cool conversation.
Well,
I just can't remember it now.
I can't remember it either.
We did talk about your comic.
Yeah, we talked about Stuck and about how the challenge of creating a comic where the characters have no faces. Because a lot of people who... There are other Stickfa webcomics, and...
Really?
Sure, there's lots of
them.
Did
they steal it from you?
No. I didn't steal it from them either because I didn't know they existed, but when I knew they existed, I looked at them, and none of them were like mine because either they had a lot more set design and stuff, and usually they also had, like...
They had the Stickfa Malibu Dream House?
Well, no, usually... there's no such thing, so they had to build all their sets. They're good, don't get me wrong. A lot of these comics are very good. But they have more sets, a larger cast than I had, and also they find a way to put faces on the stick figures. Usually some some computer... It's obvious they do some post-production work and put the faces in.
That would suck.
So... I don't
Stickfas are cool because they have no faces.
I don't think there's a Stickfa comic called Pirate versus Ninja or Ninja versus Pirate. I don't remember. And I don't think they.
I have wonder faces. Which figures they bought.
Yeah, and I don't think they have faces. But I think as a general rule, if you go out and look for Stickfa webcomics, mine is the only one that is, first of all, features only Stickfas and Stickfa accessories. Except for this one little round piece of wood thing that I use for various purposes.
But I remember that.
But other than that, only Stickfas and Stickfa accessories that come with the Stickfas that you see.
I am fascinated that you can say Stickfas and Stickfa accessories with a straight face.
I'm telling you.
You don't even sound like Hank Hill when you do it.
I
couldn't sleep in.
I didn't...
Stickfoot and Stickfoot accessories.
I didn't modify them in any way. I didn't even... You know, when you take them out of their little plastic...
You modified Odin, didn't you?
No. Nope. Odin was a...
Sorry. Spoiler alert.
Odin was a combination of more than one Stickfoot.
Oh, okay. Because Stickfoots are kind of like Legos. You build them. Okay. But you didn't actually mess with any of the pieces or stick anything on them.
No,
or...
I didn't even... You know, when you pop them out of their little plastic thing they come into, they have little...
Stickers you can put on them.
Well, yeah, but they also have scoring and stuff on them. I didn't shave that off or anything. Everything is left exactly how it came out of the box. On purpose. I wanted it to be... I wanted it to be the kind of thing where if you bought a Stickfa, it would, you know, it's exactly what you get out of the box. And I didn't change a thing. And I only used... The only props they had were stuff that Stickfas come with.
I would say, kids, you can grow up to be an unpaid Stickfa comic creator also.
Well, it was all part of the challenge of you know, trying to make these interesting, relatable, believable characters without them having faces. I mean, that's a challenge. And it was fun to do, and I look forward to doing it again with Morley Gray. But yeah, that was that.
You should check it out, people. Go to his website, JesusAndMyGrandpappy.com.
I wish you would check it out because I think you'll enjoy it.
I like it. It's good. I'm not fond of him, but I like his comic, so that should tell you something.
Yeah. Where are we at now, time-wise?
We're getting up on 45 minutes. We should probably call it.
Call it.
Okay, you have anything to plug?
I just plugged Stuck.
There we go. Stuck. Check it out.
And we did talk about Inquire Within, the film that I made that Tony's in.
Yes, and the secret drug problems going on behind that show.
You can find that on the site somewhere.
But you can find the
movie.
Thing.
Yeah, the film. I encourage you to watch it because it's good. I mean,
in the
Tony
meantime,
does an excellent job.
Give us things to... I'm getting scared now because we're getting up to the point where it went bad on us.
I know. Might again.
In the meantime, go to our blog and read stuff there and check out the comments and comment yourself. Make fun of us, whatever. Which is at themagicaltalkinghat.com. And email the hat with any topics or questions you have. Maybe in general might be a good idea, when in doubt, put fewer questions per email. Break it up into emails because the hat seems to process emails with less questions faster than ones with more questions. I don't know why. I'm sure I have no idea. But anyway, email the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And I will put up a link to Board Game Geeks and that Defective Yeti thing.
Oh, and since I've been talking about my next book, you might be interested in reading the other two. They're under my pen name, Clifton D. Hawk. You can find them on Lulu. You can find them on
Amazon,
BarnesandNoble.com.
Clifton D. as in dog, Hawk.
Yep. Pretty. And there's two of them. There's Twilighteners and Harbingers. I apologize for the title of the first one, but trust me, I didn't know anything about the other one when
Twilight Teners. Yeah. Stephanie Meyer stole from him. And Harbingers.
And Harbingers. And we do want to thank Lois, Sir Guido, Azure Talon, and our anonymous contributor. And we liked your comments and questions so much that we did them.
Did them twice.
Two times.
And seriously, don't think that we're slow. We're getting worse because this is our second string. The first one was awesome.
Yeah,
seriously,
it really was.
Best episode ever.
Ever.
It was amazing.
Of any podcast.
There were moments that even now almost bring me to tears just through the raw emotion I remember.
I mean, Buddha was mentioned.
Actually, that's true. Buddha was mentioned, and especially his shoes.
Yeah.
Buddha shoes.
It was a great moment of enlightenment.
That'll give some of you a hint. But we talked about that, too. I forgot about that. We could have talked
about
that.
I know. There's so many cool things.
So, that's it. Well, hopefully next week will be better. Or only one time.
Or we'll have next week. Because
or even then.
We have to record it ahead of time.
Yes. We're going to work that out, though. So, that's it. For tonight, so disregard the last 46 minutes. Thank you for listening. Come back again, and good night.
Good night.
Next week, let's record it three times.
That's a good idea.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/Jay_Underberg. Thank you.